Why STEM is Important, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Introduction. No doubt you have heard or read about the subject of STEM. If you have kids in middle school, they are probably being exposed to it. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Math. It's all about combining content and process to solve problems and create new products and services, a fundamental necessity for economic growth. It is not about making kids into engineers, but rather how to help them think and analyze more effectively. I have taught this educational paradigm for many years, and now, after a 36-year engineering career, I teach the teachers who will teach STEM in their classrooms. Many of you listening to this audiobook will see how closely it mirrors what we so-called geeks do on the job. Maybe you will work with local schools and help teachers and students solve relevant problems. Perhaps you already are, and that is a great thing. If not, consider getting involved. It is very important for young folks to see the world through our engineers' eyes. What is STEM? STEM is an educational paradigm that integrates curriculum, both process and content-oriented, and is standards-based. It exemplifies open-ended problem-solving in the workplace, representing life on the job after graduation from either high school or college, and is team-based, head and hands learning. It uses the scientific inquiry process, asking questions, the invention process, creativity, and the engineering design process, designing with constraints. STEM's fundamental premise is that the world is interconnected, and solving problems is an interdisciplinary and multidimensional endeavor involving active learning, teamwork, collaboration, and student empowerment. It challenges students to become comfortable with open-ended, context-based problem solving, defining the problem first, then asking high-quality questions so robust and high-quality solutions can be evaluated. The questions asked determine the quality of the solutions. Solving problems is necessarily an iterative process. No answers appear in the back of the book, or there may not be a discrete solution that is right. It is about asking questions and exploring the problem, and then designing a solution that answers the questions. Nonlinear, insightful thinking, lateral thinking, and experiential insights can play a powerful role here. STEM shines best when the students see how math can be used for practical applications, and they gain an appreciation of a problem's magnitude and significance. Designing with constraints often uses a matrix-style identification, assessment, and selection for solutions. High-quality solutions blend together technical and non-technical concerns in potential solutions. Teachers should conduct the classroom in a Socratic style, encouraging students to try new things, document their work, learn from their failures, and be ready to try again. Teachers tie the students to the problems, leading them to pursue solutions through their students' own natural exuberance and creativity. STEM applies strong math components for analysis and design, demonstrating the fundamental importance of how and why math is so crucial to the quantification we seek in problem analysis. STEM features creativity, invention, and entrepreneurship. It is a school-to-work vector that shows subject matter relevance and the utility of problem-solving processes in the workplace. STEM relies on a team-based, head-and-hands approach to solving problems, and it very much resembles what project management looks like in the workplace. Arts, humanities, and language skills are also very important. In its most concentrated state, STEM is a complete integration of the entire academic curriculum. Good written and oral communication is an absolute must for STEM students. In the workplace, great ideas poorly presented will not be implemented. What STEM is not? STEM is not an invention convention, not an open forum to invent things. STEM is a content-driven, standards-based educational paradigm. It isn't more of the same old traditional curriculum, 8 periods of content a day, and it isn't a massive application of advanced programs in science and math. Courses and activities in currently popular robotics technology is not a substitute for STEM. It is a manifestation of STEM, but not a substitute. STEM is not meant to be a lab course or a special activity. It is meant to be an educational spinal cord for a new academic day. STEM portends a change to academics. It won't happen tomorrow, but it is an inevitable transition to a new integrated curriculum. STEM philosophy will suffuse itself into everything a school presents for learning. This educational paradigm is for all students, not just for vocational students or those interested in technical professions. All workplace experiences will require the ability to think and solve complex problems. The world is changing so fast in all sectors that STEM thinking is a powerful cross-cutting enabler for all students. STEM is not something that reduces arts, humanities, and communications. Rather, it relies very heavily on such content in solving problems, for nothing can be accomplished if complex problems and their solutions cannot be effectively and concisely communicated. The history of STEM. The past 30 years have played a key role in developing STEM principles and precepts. The topics discussed here are presented in no rank order or prioritization. Exponential developments and new understandings in brain-based research fields have converged to completely change our view of the brain and how it works. The duality of head and hands in reinforcing learning is especially important. The specific field of neuroplasticity has revolutionized our realization that the brain is highly dynamic, capable of building new pathways, and how creativity is initiated. Since the late 90s, such thinking has stimulated cross-content lesson planning, attempting to bore through the traditional content or subject silos so students can see how the subjects interact. An educational paradigm implemented in the mid-1980s, known as technology education, was instrumental in teaching middle school students about the world humans had designed. This technological socioeconomic connection gave students a look at engineering and its impact on society. New Jersey educators pioneered teaching about technology, and it soon spread around the 50 states. It is still a vibrant educational paradigm, often serving as a seedbed for STEM. The workplace remains a powerful stimulus for problem-solving in an unforgiving global economy. Companies want to hire bright young folks who can think, research, analyze, and implement solutions. Content knowledge is a tactical resource, but process skills are strategic for a company, leading to new marketing thrusts, new products and services, intellectual property, and competitive positioning in the global economy. Companies compete based on their employees' abilities to learn and adapt quickly, implement new technologies, and solve problems from a multidimensional, multidisciplinary standpoint. Take a look at the 21st century skills the workplace will demand and see how STEM educational paradigms mesh so nicely. Here is what the workplace is demanding of its new employees. 8 critical skills. Analyze information. Convert information to knowledge for rapid application. Sell new ideas to management. Communicate concepts clearly and succinctly. Plan for timely implementation. Project management. Be a team player and also a leader, multidimensional integrated problem solving, and lastly, seek learning opportunities. Solving problems in a STEM environment. When solving problems, STEM students take into account a variety of constraints involving technology, economy, environment, society, legalities, safety, regulations, governmental impacts, cultural impacts, geopolitical concerns, and aesthetics. Look familiar? Engineers and inventors solve problems this way, using thinking, plus decision-making, designing within constraints. Project teams in today's business world would consider and facilitate this kind of thinking, or use it to develop questions for an environmental impact statement. I like to refer to it as 360-degree problem solving, and it must be supercharged with a mathematics foundation. problem solving must be quantified. STEM in action in the classroom. In teaching my graduate students in Montclair State University School of Secondary Education, I emphasize how teachers can motivate their students to solve problems from a 360-degree perspective. We illustrate this perspective through the very popular topic of solar energy, challenging student teams to think of the many aspects of a solar photovoltaic system installed on their school's roof. While the following list of concerns is not exhaustive, it represents what my graduate students think are valid matters that student teams should address when pondering the solar system. Think of this experience as a guidepost for an analysis. Notice how questions form the basis of inquiry toward a solution. Technology. Shall we use a single crystal, polycrystalline, or thin film solar technology? Will the panels be flat-mounted to the roof or angled at the latitude? Whose panels and equipment will we order? How big will the collection panel array be? Can the school roof support the load of the panels and its normal snow load as well? Can we tie into the school's electrical system and sell back excess power to the local electric utility? How long will it take to order and receive all the panels, wiring, and interface equipment? What equipment guarantees can we expect? Economy. What will the cost of this solar installation be? How long will it take for the energy collected and sold back to pay for the initial system cost? What is the local utility buyback rate for the energy generated? How much will the yearly operation and maintenance costs be? How will the presence of this installation affect the school's insurance policy and those costs? Is it better economically to buy cheap solar panels or expensive ones, considering system lifetime and operational costs? Is it better if the school or town owns the system, or would a partnership with an energy purchasing company be a better solution? Environmental. Will this installation be detrimental in any way to native animal life or impact avian roosting habits? Does this installation adversely impact the architectural aspects of the school and/or surrounding structures and dwellings? During a fire, will the burning solar panels release hazardous materials into the air and affect the neighborhood and firefighters? Does the size of this project trigger the need for an environmental impact statement? Safety. What are the safety and structural concerns with a roof-mounted system, and what potential worker injuries could possibly be incurred? In the event of a roof fire, is this installation and its weight a hazard to firefighting crews? How do we protect this installation from lightning? How do we prevent people from receiving shocks if they touch the installation's metalwork? How do we make sure this system shuts down in the event of a power loss at the utility end so it does not feedback and possibly injure utility line workers? Regulatory. What forms must be filed for the school to qualify for the solar energy tax credits for this system? How does the school system account for these costs in its annual budget? What local town or city building and other codes apply to this installation? Must we have code approval authorities on board from the beginning of the project? Does the project team or do the school administrators coordinate this project? What codes and standards must be complied with to obtain local utility company buyback? What is the application process time, and how soon does it need to be in place? Educational. How do we work in an educational aspect of this installation for the pupils in the school? Should there be an interactive interface available for students to see how the solar system is working? Do we make this interface via a web page or a link via the school web page? Is there money for this educational aspect in the original budget, or should we include more funding? Should there be a teacher's resource book for teaching solar system basics, and an operation manual that can be used in science and technology education classrooms here in the school? Who should write this book? Should we have some teachers on this project team as well? Government. How do we coordinate this work with the town mayor and council? Is there going to be an educational liaison person assigned from the mayor's office or the Board of Education? Is there a protocol we need to follow before speaking to any newspaper or media people about the project? If we are asked to host visitors to the site, who will coordinate those visits, or are we free to do so? And social. Is this system likely to produce a sun glare problem for the surrounding homes at certain times of the year? If so, are there mitigating techniques we can use that will not compromise system operation and collection? Are other schools in this school system likely also to be candidates for such an installation? What is the town's general feeling for paying for this system in their taxes? Is there any possibility we could see negative press in local newspapers? Importance of STEM and Thomas Edison. Here is an example of how STEM can rumble through our economy like an economic juggernaut. 70% of our annual economic growth is technology-based. Edison died in 1931, and today his accomplishments are still 10% of the annual American economy, about $1.6 trillion per year due to Edison. And some economics believe he is responsible for 1/4 of all the jobs on the planet. Edison is the great granddaddy of STEM, as exemplified by his legendary West Orange, New Jersey labs, where research and development, new product development, and manufacturing were forever joined. This invention was by far Edison's greatest, what we call today technology-driven growth, or in the vernacular, progress. According to a 2012 U.S. Department of Commerce study, STEM-rich, intellectual property IP-intensive, industries contribute $5 trillion annually to the U.S. economy, about 1/3 of the total economy. This figure represents 40 million jobs. Merchandise exports of IP-intensive industries totaled $775 billion in 2011, about 61% of the total U.S. merchandise exports. No wonder companies seek out graduates and workers who have STEM skills. Yet many STEM-based jobs go unfilled every year. Clearly, there will be an increased emphasis on schools teaching this important learning style. Here is some final evidence about how valuable STEM skills are to our economy. Edison's codification of the step-by-step process has come to be the birth of modern R&D labs that all Fortune 500 companies have or foster for developing their new products and services. By the time of Edison's death in 1931, most of the big companies then in existence had a centralized R&D department, testimony to the power of Edison's invention process. The application of this process shows most prominently in the history of how patents have grown. When Edison was born in 1847, about 5,000 patents had been awarded to American inventors. In 1935, 4 years after Edison's death, a cumulative total of 2 million patents was issued. The total number of patents has increased dramatically in the past 100 years. More than 70% of the patents ever issued happened in 1935. What an amazing statistic! It appears the rate of patent issue has been increasing exponentially. Let's examine the years that have passed and the increase of patents more closely. Here comes the math, the M in STEM. Year 0, 1792. U.S. Patent Office established. 143 years later, 1935, 2 million patents issued. 41 years later, 1976, 4 million patents issued. 35 years after that, 2011, 8 million patents issued. The time interval between doubling periods is shorter. We have a case of exponential growth, and if we want our country to remain on this competitive pace, we will need workers who have a visceral understanding of STEM principles and processes. In conclusion, consider these recent words from Google about how Google hires people. We're less concerned about grades and transcripts, and more interested in how you think. We're likely to ask you some role-related questions that provide insight into how you solve problems. Show us how you would tackle the problem presented. Don't get hung up on nailing the right answer. We might be headed for a post-GPA world, where employers are less concerned about where and how you obtained your knowledge and more concerned with how you apply it. Thomas Edison also used this exact philosophy to hire his incredible staff. The future of STEM. STEM portends a new academic day. What emerges may not even be called STEM. We may be headed for a complete redefinition of the school day and how students learn. Could we have flipped classrooms where students study at night using computerized techniques, webinars, and open online sources of information, and do practical applications during the day in special studios and worker spaces or maker spaces? Might we teach courses in related clusters, like math, science, art, and music, or language, arts, history, and communications? Will schools morph into morning recitation with afternoon application studios? Certainly, education will undergo great changes, but the most important things that should accompany such changes are new relationships between schools and businesses. Business leaders must realize their roles to send signals to educators about where the workplace is heading, so adult influencers can incorporate new things into the school curricula and make it dynamic and relevant to young minds. About the author. Harry T. Roman holds 12 U.S. patents, received numerous engineering, invention, and teaching awards, and published over 550 scientific papers, articles, monographs, and books. In 1999, the New Jersey Technology Education and Engineering Association named him a Distinguished Technology Educator. In 2005, the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame honored Roman with an Inventor of the Year Award for his application of mobile robots in hazardous work environments. In 1996, IEEE honored him with a Meritorious Achievement Award for developing continuing education products for IEEE members. Again in 2006, IEEE honored Roman with an Outstanding Engineer Award. Every month, over 70,000 educators read his feature articles appearing in various national publications. In PSE&G's R&D group, where he worked for 36 years, Roman directed and consulted on over $100 million worth of projects and programs and taught graduate-level R&D project management courses at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT. Throughout his engineering career, he worked with schools around the state, bringing the excitement of real-world problem-solving into the classroom. Retired since 2006, Roman has published over 70 resource books, math card games, and science kits for teachers, products valued for their head-and-hands approach to teaching creativity, invention, STEM, engineering, and alternative energy topics in the classroom. Roman now spends many hours in the classroom, working with teachers and students in West Orange, Montclair, and Livingston, conducting special student project team challenges. He is an advisor and author to the Edison Innovation Foundation and docent and special lecturer at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park in West Orange. Roman also admits to writing and publishing poetry and short stories. This has been Why STEM is Important, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lukabaugh.